Thursday morning. It's Pat Egan and Eitan Shander. It is Thursday, right?
On the Fanatic at 5 as we inch closer to the end of the week. And representative of the Phillies offense last night, they're not going to make the playoffs. Fire Gabe Kapler.
It seems like every day we come in here and it's a different result. It's like if you're forced to look
at a game in August, early August, with a microscope, you're going to get these types of overreactions. And
if they win a game, it's super World Series or bust. And if they lose a game, it's the world's coming.
Why are we talking about the Phillies enough when they win six straight and when they lose two in a row as they did last night, their second in a row to Arizona? It's the same situation, which is, well, what's wrong with this team? They can't hit. The bats don't come alive. A defensive mistake or a bad pitching outing is going to set this team back three or four. That's the reason, and then this is what you're going to get. And I understand that I began these conversations on the morning show with Trey Thomas and Jeff Mosher. He'll join us at 6 about expectations this year. We talked about that, Pat, on this show earlier this week and then into the morning show about realistic expectations for fans who are glued into this team. And this morning, you're going to get the same conversation. I've already seen it even at me on social media. Well, this is why we don't trust the team. And this is why this team won't do anything past winning the division. And they won't really do anything past making it atop the NL East. And you get people's frustrations. And unfortunately, when you try to back them down and say, listen, it's August 8th, it's August 9th, yep, there's plenty more baseball. This is what happens in a pennant race. People have gone to the Philadelphia Eagles microwave mentality, which is looking at a baseball game from a Philadelphia Eagles standpoint. And listen, let me say this. You and I were both in around and active and well aware of this medium in 2008 and 2009.
Oh, yeah.
It's doable. We did it. For the 2009 regular season, I remember because I had come back from Nashville at that point and was working at the other place, and we looked at and I was in there in the summer when the season started.
Yeah.
And we looked at every single game. We're talking about games in June and July, like the Philadelphia Eagles just played a game, and we're dissecting what went wrong or what went right. This team,
every little move they would make, if they would bring a pitcher up, if they'd bring a pitcher down, if Clay Condrieu goes on the DL, what's going to happen with that situation? We were just picking every little detail apart. Like,
this team's not good enough. This team's just not good enough to do that right now.
No, I think you as you said, you don't want to overreact to one game. And the Braves gained ground last night by beating a bad Nationals team that has completely underperformed and disappointed a lot of people. For a lot of baseball experts, that was the pick out of the National League. So the Braves end up winning last night, and they gain ground, and now the Phillies' lead is down to a half a game. But when you step back and you're looking at the situation, okay, the Braves just beat a bad Nationals team that has basically given up. The Phillies lost to a playoff-bound Arizona team. They're about to go into a bad San Diego team that's sold at the deadline, and you've got Eflin, Nolan, Arrieta scheduled to start. So, you know, okay, while they should have taken the Arizona series, and they didn't, if you go into San Diego and you drop that series, all right, it's gonna get my interest up and saying, you know, I hope this doesn't become a trend. But with this Arizona series, you got to take it in stride and just say, all right, you know, they got some bad bounces their way. Sir Anthony blows the save. It's not as big of a deal, obviously, if he doesn't do that, but he did. So I agree with you. I'm not in a situation right now on August 9th where I'm sitting here breaking it down thinking the world's coming to an end, because in 2008, we did that. You know, we were coming off an NL East championship and we were in a battle with the Mets. And obviously when September hit, you know, the Mets faded and the Phillies turned on the gas and kind of separated themselves in the division a little bit. But this team, it's going to be this way the entire run.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be battling with the Braves. They're going to be a half game back, a game up, a game down, two games down, two games up. Just prepare for this, because this is the reality of baseball. And a lot of people have forgotten that, because the past 5 years they've sucked and a lot of people have just tuned out on them.
Yeah, and I think it's slowly changing, but come on, we're not there yet. And we're not physically there yet. This team isn't there yet. It's not at a point where we need to be locked in and concerned on a day-to-day basis about little things and try to move them forward to, well, this is what's going to happen in a series against LA, or this is what's going to happen in a series against Chicago. The reality is that this team has been really good for the majority of the season, And in that sense, they've been winning games. Now, they haven't been good as far as like what we've seen historically, like a team that hits collectively at 300 or a team that has four or five guys. Although they actually do have a bunch of guys that are hitting for, you know, at least 20 home runs.
Yeah, you just don't notice it.
Exactly. It's to use the term quiet. You know, you see that a lot. Like, oh, you had a quiet 30-point night. You know, something
like
that.
It's kind of, it reminds you of the Flyers teams that they would never have like a 40-goal scorer, but they'd have eight guys score over 20 goals.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you constantly hear people bitching about how do we don't have 40 goals, you don't have 40 goals. And you're like, yeah, but you just had eight score 20, and that kind of makes up for it. And that's what the Phillies have done. Mm-hmm. They don't really have anybody that's gonna hit 40 to 45 home runs. We thought Rhys Hoskins was going to be that guy, and he's a power hitter for sure. He's not probably going to hit 40 home runs unless he has an incredible last 2 months of the season. But, you know, Nick Williams hitting 16 home runs at this point, and when you realize that he's been in a platoon for most of the season, that's very impressive.
Yeah, I agree.
So when you step back and you realize, all right, well, you know, they've at least got a steady, consistent offense a little bit, it's a positive.
All right, we can move on. 610-632-0975.
You don't want to break down Aniel De Los Santos's.
No, I have a headache doing back thinking AAA? About Nick Williams platooning in the beginning of August.
Well,
right,
they're
now.
Making a corresponding move. Who do you think it should be? Put out a poll.
I don't care. I already have a poll out. That's what I care about. All right. Did you vote on this at Shander Show?
No, I don't follow you.
All right. Well, you should. And beyond the follow, then vote on the poll. Now, 2,105 people have voted already. And I, to be fair, I put this out last night. And I purposely left off the New York Giants, understanding that this is more about what's relevant and the level in which the Eagles have been really battling the Patriots on and off the field. So this is not about rivalry. This is just about what team do you hate the most. It's not about rivalry as far as the NFC East or the, you know, Eastern Conference in the NBA. We're not looking at that specifically, just hate. So I asked Cowboys, Celtics, Patriots, or Penguins.
Well, the problem with your poll is you don't have the team that I hate the most, which is the New York Mets.
And
I understand why you didn't put them there, because they're irrelevant, but they will forever be my most hated team.
No, I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're still. But I think you underestimate my hatred for that organization and that fan base. But because you gave me four options with the poll, it's probably down to Celtics and Patriots. I'd have to go Celtics. I'd have to. I mean, I know people are going to vote Cowboys. It's going to be the conventional wisdom of, oh my God, the Cowboys. The Cowboys are irrelevant. I mean, they just are. They're not going to be a good football team. Don't give me this crap about Dak. Dak just got worse. Dak had a bad season last year, and he just lost his safety valve in Jason Witten and just lost his best wide receiver in Dez Bryant. I understand Dez Bryant has had a bad season last year. He was overpaid, and that's why they dropped him. But you look at the receivers they have now, Allen Hurns is not going to be Dez Bryant. He's not going to give you the physical wide receiver that Dez Bryant was.
Hold on.
I'm not scared of the Cowboys. I'm worried about the Celtics.
Yeah, okay, but don't even look at it from what they can do. Just look at it as far. That's why, like, the Mets are totally off the board. Is just the Phillies themselves have been irrelevant for 5 years.
Yeah, no, I, as I said, I understand why you left them off. But when looking at the poll, the Celtics bother me the most, and I hate them the most because I feel like they ruined my run with the Sixers last year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Celtics are, and that's what's interesting to me, is that 2,200 people have voted. 68% have the Cowboys. Now, the Celtics aren't even second. They're third behind the Penguins.
I think it's just the initial vote. I think it's you see that, and boom, you vote. You're not really thinking.
Well, not 2,200 people are doing that. I think there are some people thinking, right? Maybe this 11%.
No, I'm saying it's an impulse vote. You're not sitting there breaking it down like, okay, it's immediately like when you see those four names, immediately you're like, oh, it's got to be the Cowboys. But the Cowboys are now irrelevant. Whereas the Celtics, when we were going up against the Celtics in the playoffs, I think, you know, if you put out a poll saying, you know, what's your confidence level, it would have been 98%. You know, they're without Kyrie Irving. They're without Gordon Hayward. They're banged up. We had just beaten Miami badly. And all of a sudden, they just completely decimated us. I mean, they exposed and embarrassed the Philadelphia 76ers. And then it became like, oh, wow. Not only is this team good and they're beating us and they're going to advance, but they're going to get better next year. And if we don't get one of these top-level free agents, this could be the team out of the East for many years, whereas we thought we were.
Yeah.
And we could still be, but looking at it, yeah, I can't stand the Celtics. And the fact that It's you have two Boston teams on there. It's very interesting to me.
Well, I think that that's kind of the climate right now, is that the Patriots have become a team that we despise and we've always hated. But now that we've reinforced how much we despise them because of the victory that came this past season over them, specifically over them. And think about it. Any time that news has popped with the Patriots, anything, it's been like, oh, Eagles continue to knock the Patriots down. Eagles continue to hand the Patriots an L. Eagles continue to bowl over the Patriots. Oh, it's another loss for the Patriots. You know, like, we're actually over here having fun and enjoying the misery. And rightfully so, don't get me wrong, about what's happening with the Patriots. It could be anything from the suspension to Edelman, Tom Brady getting harassed, whatever it might be. The banner that we talked about yesterday. Things that just pop up that are Philadelphia. We put a banner up, Pat Egan. You want me to tell you telling me that the New England Patriots don't deserve to be on that poll?
I'm not saying they don't. I just find it interesting that you have two Boston teams. I'm not disagreeing with you putting them there.
Is there a city that we have a bigger rivalry with? I mean, I don't think it's New York anymore.
I tend to agree with you.
I mean, we're about to go in. Let's look at it like this from the local perspective. It's Pat Egan, Eitan Shanner, Fanatic at 5. 610-632-0975 is how you can weigh in on the discussion. The 5 a.m. hour brought to you by Car Gurus. Go to cargurus.com today. Find great deals from top-rated dealers near you. CARGURUS.com. Let's think about the cities. New York, as far as the Mets and Giants specifically, I mean, Rangers, I would think the Rangers are actually more of a relevant rivalry than the Mets.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that.
But they're not as big of
the
a...
The Mets are a joke.
Correct.
I mean, I despise them and their fans, but I'm in the minority. The Mets are an absolute joke. They should not be on your list. I just threw that out there because they're my most hated team. Looking at Boston, though, to me, it's really the fan base. Is the fan base is so ungodly annoying.
Well, that factors in a lot of it. That factors, you know, it's not just the team, it's not just the players, it's the fan base itself. And
yeah,
like, I think the Celtics, of the four teams on this poll, the Celtics are the most aware of us.
Yeah, I
the Celtics are the ones that fear us. The Celtics are the ones that
I don't think they fear us.
Compared to the Cowboys don't even when the Cowboys are bad and the Eagles are good. That's not a rivalry that's relevant in Dallas. That's not a rivalry there that the fans get. They don't have Eagles week. They don't look at it like, oh, we got to beat the Eagles. No matter what happens this year, beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
This has been a total one-sided rivalry from the fans' perspective.
I think that's mainly to our fan base, though.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it is.
I don't think the Giants ever say, like, we could go... You know, 2-14, but if we beat the Eagles, it's okay.
No,
I think that is specifically to our fan base.
It's not so literal of a point, more so than it is about if you look at just a decent season or if you look at a struggling season, it's high on the list as far as, all right, did they sweep, you know, the Cowboys? Yeah, they went 6-10 or they went 8-8. But damn, you know, they beat up the Cowboys. At least they beat the Cowboys.
Well, at that point...
And you'll get that on Twitter, and you'll get that in conversations here with us on the radio as well.
Yeah, you're looking for a silver lining. I mean, the problem is if the Cowboys have a bad year, their fan base is already, you know, focused on the L.A. Lakers. So, you know, they've moved on. But
and if the Yankees are in the postseason, then it helps.
When discussing sports with a Boston fan and an annoying Boston fan, like I got into it during the Celtics-Sixers series right before it, and you've got fans actually trying to talk smack on Eagles fans. Like they would completely divert the conversation actually to football. And you're like, dude, 2 months ago, you guys lost the Super Bowl to a backup quarterback. And they would try to, oh, well, you know, we've got 5 rings.
Right.
And I was actually having fans bring up 2004 like it mattered. Like, oh, well, we beat you 14 years ago, so it's okay. And I'm like, this is the logic of these people. They have, you know, 10 championships in like 15 years, and they've gotten so arrogant and pompous that you just want to go up there and like shake them and say, wake up, because you lost the Super Bowl to a backup quarterback and they're too stupid to realize it.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of arrogance, I want to read you this quote before we get into this Adam Schefter thing that popped from yesterday's show. And we'll talk a little bit more about it because the Eagles are about to begin. This is step one of repeating as Super Bowl champions, and they did it. This wasn't a hypothetical, all right? In case you're new to the city, in case you're just joining us, the Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
Can't say that enough.
This was not anything mythical. This was not anything that was created. as far as fiction. Now, Alvin Kamara is definitely living in a world of fiction. And I'm not really sure what prompted this as far as the specifics of the Philadelphia Eagles, but it was in this Bleacher Report article in which a guy was following him around. And it's interesting, and it is kind of compelling just to get inside the life, at least for a day. And again, you're always going to be a little different when you have, it's a scientific fact, when you have the camera on you, things just become a little bit different. When you don't have the camera on you, or at least you don't know you have the camera on you, things are a little bit different as well. But this is a quote from Kamara talking about what would have happened. And again, you can look at what did happen, which is the Philadelphia Eagles won and are Super Bowl champions this morning. In Alvin Kamara's mind, maybe not so much. Quote, "We beat the blank out of the Eagles because we were rolling. If we won versus Minnesota, I knew nobody was going to stop us because we came all the way back." Now, I don't know why he specifically thinks outside of what they thought was going to be a miraculous victory against the Minnesota Vikings, and maybe that momentum would have carried them into a competitive game, and he's looking at the matchups. But the Philadelphia Eagles, to take away what they did against Minnesota, a team who was at the very least as good, good enough to hang blow for blow with New Orleans. So if New Orleans was the better team, they weren't on that day, or if New Orleans succumbed to a major play coming down from, you know, the heavens open up and therefore the lights shine on the Vikings that day because of that huge catch and run. Well, regardless of the case, it was a tight game before that. Yes, it went back and forth. It was a tight game. The Philadelphia Eagles came out here in against Minnesota and destroyed them.
Yeah, I think they just scored another touchdown during your explanation of
that.
Do
we have the TV call of it?
I'll say this to Alvin Kamara. They were rolling until Marcus Williams decided to completely whiff on a tackle of Stephon Diggs and cost his team the game. You know, like, you can't say that statement when you lost. And that it just boggles my mind. As you said, the NFC Championship game wasn't even close.
No.
There was about 5 minutes where the Minnesota Vikings looked like they were good. And then all of a sudden the wheels came off. And I remember bringing this up on air because I believe I was on air, I think, after the game or before maybe, or I don't know. But I was on at some point after the result, and I said, if you remember in 2004, that team was so good. And at that point, we had kind of known that getting T.O., getting Javon Kearse, loading up, that at the Super Bowl was a formality at this point. Uh-huh. These two guys were going to get us over the hump. They beat the Atlanta Falcons, and I think they only beat them by like 14 or 15 points. This Eagles team with a backup quarterback just destroyed the Minnesota Vikings by 31 points. That's how good this team is. And that put everybody on notice. And it should have put Alvin Kamara on notice, but I guess he didn't want to watch the game because that statement is just idiotic.
Yeah, I don't understand. And I'm like, he's looking at what happened. He's talking about getting over the fact that they lose to the Vikings, and then upset, thinking like, all right, well, if the Eagles blew out, and where's the logic in that? If the Eagles blew out the Vikings, we just barely lost to the Vikings. We would have blown out the team that beat the team that just barely beat us. That doesn't make much sense.
No, and he's going to get a lot of heat from it. I'm sure from Eagles fans, his Twitter's going to be blowing up. I don't know exactly what we expect him to say, if he was asked a loaded question or not.
It wasn't a loaded question. It was part of this long 24-hour piece in which...
So he just brings it up randomly?
Well, no, he was responding. I'll read you the exact line from the Bleacher Report article. Kamara says he got over the game fairly quickly, the game in which they lost to the Minnesota Vikings.
How do you get over that game quickly?
But was frustrated to see the Vikings allow 38 unanswered points in a blowout loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, who defeated the New England Patriots 2 weeks later in Super Bowl 52. "We beat the blank out of the Eagles because we were rolling," Kamara says. "If we won versus Minnesota, I knew nobody was going to stop us because we came all the way back." So that momentum would not... And think about this. Minnesota had momentum. Like, granted,
they had all the momentum.
They held off a team that did come back. And they did hold off the in-game momentum from the New Orleans Saints. But if you want to talk about energy, and if you want to talk about buzz, and if you want to talk about momentum as far as coming off of a win, like, yeah, you're going to celebrate that. You're going to look around and cheer with your teammates, but Minnesota had at least enough to come in. Whether or not they were able to take advantage of it,
yeah.
whether or not they were flat coming into Sunday against the Eagles, that's on them. But that opportunity to come into it with it, you had it. You had enough to build off it. It's not like it was a 3-0 football game in which you turn the ball over 7 times and you're like, oh my God, how are we going to survive against the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia?
No, it was every Vikings fan at that point thought that that was a magical season, and that's
yes, and it was going to continue to roll.
Was going to make them roll. What I love about Alvin Kamara's quote is the fact that he says, "I got over it quickly," and yet all these months later, he's still harping on it. I mean, that you don't get over a loss like that quickly. I'm sorry, you can sit there and say it, but you don't. You're penciled in for the NFC Championship game, and it's ripped from you. I was on the air during that touchdown, and I started the show off saying, all right, they're going to face the New Orleans Saints, and let's break it down, and what do you think about the matchup and this and that? And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there 8 minutes into my show, and Stephon Diggs is running the end zone, and we had to completely change it. We had to completely flip the script. You know, like, you don't get over that. And he's not over it, clearly, because he sat there and actually thought that they would have beaten the Philadelphia Eagles all these months later. That Eagles-Vikings NFC Championship game was, all you needed was Jim Ross screaming, stop the damn match, because it was that bad of a beatdown.
That man's got a family! Come on, I don't get anything from you on that?
No, you get nothing.
You bring up Jim Ross and I further your analogy?
That was so bad.
Well, I wasn't trying to imitate him as far as...
It sounded like it.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's his phrase, isn't it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is. It's by God that man's got a family.
It's by God, but I don't know. I don't remember saying that man's.
Oh,
got a family.
Well, come on. Do you have your laptop?
He's
in front
broken
of you?
In half. I've heard that.
No, he said I've got a family. Like, that man's got a family.
Well, somebody stop the damn match.
No, he said that too. You're thinking of Bob Ross, the guy with the hair that used to paint.
I'm not thinking of Bob Ross.
Yeah,
it's Happy Trees.
Nope, I think you got it all mixed up. You got your Rosses mixed up. 610-632-0975. It happens.
Was it Betsy Ross?
Nope. It was Bob Ross. Pat Egan, Eitan Shander. You're going to hear this cut from Adam Schefter when we come back. He was on the morning show yesterday. Trey Thomas, Jeff Mosher will join me at 6 a.m. and explained, because Mike Missinelli was talking about this, explain just how difficult it is to repeat and why people's expectations should at the very least be realistic. It's Pat Egan, Eitan Shander, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic at 5 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 67cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash can hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income. Go to 67cash.com and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 67cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 67cash.com. Type www.67cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 67cash.com. 67cash.com.
Hi, it's Mike Missinelli here. Now, you've heard me talk about the epidemic of drug and alcohol addiction crippling our community. We all know someone who has struggled with addiction, but they don't have to suffer any longer. Recovery Centers of America Devon is one of the nation's finest addiction treatment facilities, and it's located right in our backyard. Now, I recently visited Recovery Centers of America Devon. I was completely blown away. The compassion, the knowledge, the expertise of their staff was unparalleled. Now, it's clear this team cares about every person that walks through their doors. A lot of people talk about addressing the epidemic of addiction. I assure you that Recovery Centers of America is taking real action, saving lives every day. Call 1-800-RECOVERY or visit DevonRecoveryCenters.com. They admit patients 24/7. They accept most major insurances, and they will make arrangements for immediate admission. They'll dispatch a black car service to pick you up within 2 hours. This could be the most important call of your life. So if you're affected, if you know someone who's affected, call now. 1-800-RECOVERY.
Real cases from the files of Swartz-Cullerton.
My name is Chance. I was a lead technician and good at my job until I suffered a devastating car accident in my work truck. The truck flipped and I was barely injured. Even though I was the victim and the police blamed the other driver, the company where I worked and its insurance company treated me horribly. Then I called the attorneys at Swartz Cullerton. They refer me to top specialists who offered incredible care. They brought me back to good health. Swartz Cullerton fought hard and got me a large cash settlement. Without Swartz Cullerton, I don't know if I ever would have won my claim. I refer all my friends and family to Swartz Cullerton. Swartz Cullerton got me justice.
If you've been injured at work, get justice. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. That's 1-800-587-8423. 1-800-JUSTICE. Don't let the insurance companies take advantage of you. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. That's 1-800-JUSTICE.
Hey, Pennsylvania. GEICO presents Need to Know Information, because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
Sometimes I tell people I have plans, when really I'm going to mindlessly scroll through my social feed until my battery runs out.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
I talk to my dog. Like, I have long, drawn-out conversations with him. And I think he understands me.
Again, not really needed. But knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important, like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
I'm okay with the 5-second rule. The 90-second rule works too.
And not needed. But you should know local agents in your area could help you find even more savings with GEICO, like military or federal discounts. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So, Pennsylvania, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
10 never came home. 43 years after the end of the Vietnam War, there are still 1,600 servicemen missing in action, 10 from our own city. It's time to finally remember them and all POW MIAs with a monument at the Philadelphia Vietnam Veterans Memorial, where we honor all who served and our own 648 who were lost. Learn more about the Philadelphia Vietnam Veterans Memorial and how your help and donations can finally build a POW MIA monument at pvvm.org. That's pvvm.org. 10 never came home. 43 years after the end of the Vietnam War, there are still 1,600 servicemen missing in action, 10 from our own city. It's time to finally remember them and all POW MIAs with a monument at the Philadelphia Vietnam Veterans Memorial, where we honor all who served and our own 648 who were lost. Learn more about the Philadelphia Vietnam Veterans Memorial and how your help and donations can finally build a POW MIA monument at pvvm.org. That's pvvm.org.
Things are about to change around here.
Catch up on the Philly sports you missed the night before and what's coming up later in the day. The Fanatic at 5 with Eitan Shander and Jamie Lynch. This is new. Weekday mornings at 5, live on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Pat Egan, Eitan Shander on 97.5 The Fanatic. It is The Fanatic at 5. The morning show comes your way at the top of the hour. Jeff Mosher, Trey Thomas will join us. 610-632-0975 is how you can weigh in. We did put a poll up, or technically I did, before the start of the show. And yes, I understand that there are a couple of teams left off, and one is questionable in the sense of why, but it's more recent. And we're only talking about right now. This is not all time. This is not when I grew up as a kid. I hated this team. It's specifically of the four choices, and at Shander shows how you can vote. Which team do you hate the most right now, today, heading into the NFL season, heading into the NBA season? Cowboys, Celtics, Patriots, Penguins. And what's shocking to me is not so much that the Cowboys, a rivalry that we continue to not necessarily manufacture, but grow exponentially, at least from our perspective, from the fan versus the Dallas Cowboys fan, is not that they're up top, Pat, but that the Penguins are two behind the Celtics. It's only 2 percentage points, but nearly 2,400 people have voted, 13% of the Penguins, 11 of the Celtics. That's what I'm shocked about, because this comes off of the NBA yesterday announcing that, or basically the reports coming out, I should say, as the schedule is tomorrow, that the Sixers are going to open up the season against the Celtics, which is huge.
Yep.
And then Christmas Day, 5:30 on Christmas Day, take on the Celtics, which is huge as well.
I'm pissed off, by the way, that we don't get that game.
What do you mean?
That the game's in Boston.
Oh, it's
last year it was in
take the trip up there.
New York. I don't want to take the trip up. I want to take the trip to the Wells Fargo Center.
No, they need to sell the history of Boston.
And the home openers against Boston, it's in Boston.
They need to sell the idea of it being the revival of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, yeah, because there's no storyline with the revival of the Philadelphia 76ers. We don't have a storied franchise here at all.
Come on, I thought
we're like the Pelicans.
Everyone hates us and we don't care, Pat.
Oh, yeah, totally. I kind of dispelled that yesterday.
ESPN hates us by not making the game, and the NBA hates us, and we'll just roll with the punches.
I just feel like we get a Christmas Day game, and we're never going to get it. Maybe it's because
it's 5:30.
Maybe it's
prime
Disney
time
on
for
ice.
East.
Disney on Ice is at the Wells Fargo Center. You can't kick Elsa out the building.
Hey, the Spurs go on a 3-month road trip because of some rodeo that comes to town. So. It wouldn't be the first time.
It's not the Cowtown Rodeo.
No, but nothing tops the Cowtown Rodeo. 6-1, all right, we gave that out. At Pat Egan _975.
No,
right?
It's at Pat _Egan.
At Shander Shows, how you get me on Twitter, and again, vote on the poll. This was from Adam Schefter. Benny is producing the show this morning. It is the Fanatic at 5. Benny, if you can, let's grab that Adam Schefter cut. This is interesting because I heard Mike Missanelli talking about this, and it came up on their show about how difficult it is. And I think every single fan base who has seen their team win a Super Bowl, even Denver, as decrepit and old as Peyton Manning looks at this like, all right, we got something. Nobody just backdoors their way into winning a Super Bowl. That doesn't happen in the NFL, where all of a sudden the fifth or seventh or tenth worst team, you know, something like that, where it's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? You know, granted, we've seen that with the Giants 7 years ago, maybe, was it?
Yeah.
But recently, what you've seen is a team with a top five or top three, even one side at least of the ball, offense or defense, win a Super Bowl. So there's enough to build on and say, all right, well, this is a pretty good team. Now, here are even more favorable circumstances where you've got guys like Carson Wentz, Jason Peters, Darren Sproles, Jordan Hicks coming back from injury. But this was Adam Schefter on why it's so difficult in the NFL year in and year out to repeat.
They are as talented as any team in football, and they are as capable as any team in football, and they can repeat. But it's not just about their talent and capabilities. It extends to other factors that make it such that it's just not a simple thing to do, no matter how good you are, and they are very good.
Now,
would you like to react to that?
Well, yeah, when we got that quote, immediately the show account at 975 Mornings was getting tweets saying, like, is Adam Schefter basically poo-pooing the Eagles and saying that they're lucky, they got lucky. And I responded to the people and said, no, he's not saying that. He's just saying that it's so difficult to repeat. And when you look at any team that won the Super Bowl, they're going to have a lot of things break their way. And to win a Super Bowl, you need that. It's not just about being a good team. And you look at, look at the Eagles rosters that went to the Super Bowl. Look at the Eagles rosters that missed the Super Bowl and how good they were. You know, I mean, things need to break your way. And it's not just about, hey, we have a great roster and we won last year and that's fine and dandy. You just look at the history of repeating in the NFL. Barring the Patriots, it doesn't happen a lot. You just brought up the Denver Broncos. You know, and as you said, no fan base goes into the season after winning the Super Bowl and says, yeah, I think we're going to be an 8-8 team. I think we're going to lose in the divisional round. It's just, that doesn't happen. But to actually win the Super Bowl, you're going to have a little bit of luck. Adam Schefter said on the airwaves with us yesterday that they absolutely deserve to win the Super Bowl. No one's taking that away from him. He was just pointing out, on top of it, you're going to need things to break your way. You're going to need, a kicker that you just picked up 7 minutes ago hitting a 63-yard field goal. You're going to need those things. You're going to need your backup quarterback to play like Joe Montana in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And that's just the reality of the situation.
I agree. I think that when you look at the Eagles, maybe to Adam's point, or maybe to people who were interpreting that tweet, what you were saying, Pat, the Eagles did get lucky in that Nick Foles was the backup quarterback. They were down one of their, if not their best linemen outside of Lane Johnson.
Yep.
They were down, clearly, their impact middle linebacker, interior linebacker, and a guy in Jordan Hicks.
They were on a backup kicker. They were out with their kick returner and spark plug of a running back. I mean,
so maybe there is a sense of luck, but at the same time, okay, that's not luck with those guys in the game. This wasn't, oh my goodness, the Philadelphia Eagles won off of a blocked field goal against Atlanta. They won off of a broken play against Minnesota.
No.
They returned guys who are better than the people who were on the field when the team won the Super Bowl.
They did, but I think what Adam was bringing up is you look at the Atlanta game, and when you're looking at the Atlanta game, you know, a ball deflects off, and then Keanu Neal's knee goes right to Nelson Aguilar and sets up a key field goal at the end of the half. Like, that's what he's talking about. You need a break like that. And they got breaks like that. You know, I mean, you got a break of Alshon Jeffrey catching a pass and stepping out of the out of bounds with 1 second left to set up that Jake Elliott field goal. You need things to happen like that. And with that ball going off Keanu Neal's knee, I mean, that's a break that immediately it's like, all right, things are going our way. He said, I mean, this team is good enough. You look at the roster returning. Everybody knows this team is good enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to be one of the favorites. But I think, to Adam's point, if they did not repeat as Super Bowl champs, it wouldn't surprise him. If they didn't make the playoffs, that would be surprising. That'd be surprising to him and us and everybody that watches football.
I think so.
But if they, you know, if they lost in the, you know, NFC Championship game, I don't think Adam would completely be surprised.
No, and I don't think that we should be either.
No, I would not. I expect
there's
them,
a difference between being disappointed versus not being surprised.
I'm kind of expecting them to lose in the NFC Championship game.
Now, don't go full Alvin Kamara on me now.
No, I'm not. But as he said, it's so tough to repeat. I don't want to put the Super Bowl or bust tag on them. And I think putting that on them is unfair, thinking about Carson Wentz coming off of an ACL injury when typically quarterbacks do not play lights out coming off ACL injuries. And maybe he is the Adrian Peterson of quarterbacks. Who knows? Well, time will tell. But to expect the season that he had last year for this upcoming season, I think it's foolish.
All right, let me read you this Alvin Kamara quote again, because I don't know. He does redeem himself, maybe to the point in which more so of a redemption than an offense. The initial quote, "We beat the blank out of the Eagles because we were rolling. If we won against the Vikings, I know nobody was going to stop us because we came all the way back." And Kamara knows that what happened is they lose to Minnesota. And he goes on to vent about the game. You know, he's like, "I was mad, of course, but it was like, how does that even blanking happen? That's not even real. It's almost not realistic. Like, what the blank?" And after beating the Vikings, the Eagles, you know, move on, win the Super Bowl. And Kamara is talking about moving forward in 2018. So as much as that initial quote might have pissed off everybody here, and rightfully so, because he's ludicrous for saying that, he then says, as far as 2018 and about letting go what happened last year, Kamara said, quote, "We know what the standard is, so yeah, blank Minnesota."
All right, let me ask you a question. How is this any different than Eagles fans saying, if we would have gotten past Tampa Bay in 2003, we would have beaten the blank out of, we would have won the Super Bowl and beaten the blank out of the Oakland Raiders? Like I'm looking at it like in that situation, like, I don't blame him for saying what he said, because I expect a pro athlete to think that, hey, if we win this game, we're going to go all the way. But looking at it, like, I remember in 2003 thinking, okay, well, if they just could have gotten past, you know, Tampa Bay, they would have won the Super Bowl, and they didn't. I mean, they lost pretty poorly. So looking at that situation, what do you expect the guy to say? He's going to have a chance to back up his words in Week 11 because they go down in New Orleans, and I'm sure that'll be the storyline du jour that week of football. But, I'm going to get pissed off about it, I guess, for a split second, but I don't know what fans actually expect this guy to say.
No, I think that's a great connection, which is, if anybody's upset about Alvin Kamara now, then what right did you have to say that about Tampa?
And I still believe that in Tampa. Like, I still believe if they would have gotten past Tampa Bay, they would have beaten the brakes off of Oakland.
610-632-0975. It is the Fanatic at 5 alongside Pat Egan, Eitan Shander, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic at 5 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Barbera.
Hi, I'm Gary Barbera.
Wait, I'm Gary Barbera. And we approve this message.
It's official. Gary Barbera wants to thank you for making us number one in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, even West Virginia. This is direct from Dodge. We're number one and we're having fun during Gary Barbera's on the Boulevard 2018 Summer Clearance Event. Challengers, Chargers from $19,990. Minivans from $19,990.
300 Jeeps cheap.
No models are being held back. Even Ram trucks are from $19,990.
It's official.
You made Gary Barbera's number one in Dodge sales, as reported by Dodge Division. We couldn't and we wouldn't say it if it weren't true.
How do we do it?
All we do is discount Dodges, Chryslers, Rams, and
300 Jeeps cheap. Is Barbera's on the boulevard the best?
Boy,
it's official.
Barbera's is number one, and we're having fun.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 67cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash can hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income. Go to 67cash.com and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 67cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 67cash.com. Type www.67cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 67cash.com. 67cash.com.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Philadelphia and Wilmington? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Philadelphia and Wilmington area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Philadelphia and Wilmington are perfect markets for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, text your five-digit zip code to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited, so text your five-digit zip code to 82,000. Text in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. Just text your zip code to 82,000.
America never forgets. Never forgets its soldiers. It never forgets the missing in action and the families that continue to suffer.
Vietnam POW Ralph Galati was one of the lucky ones. He came home, but 1,600 servicemen are still missing in action. 10 from our own city. It's time for us to remember and honor them and all POW MIAs with a monument at the Philadelphia Vietnam Veterans Memorial. Learn how your support and donations can help build our POW MIA monument at pvvm.org. That's pvvm.org.
The Reading Fighting Phils have been the AA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies since 1967, the longest affiliation in all of minor league baseball. They play their home games in America's classic ballpark, First Energy Stadium. They have free parking, affordable tickets, food, and great family fun. Take your family to a Reading Fighting Phils game to see the next Mike Schmidt, Reese Hoskins, and Scott Kingery. For tickets, call 610-370-BALL or order online at fightins.com. The Reading Fightin' Phils. Affordable fun, family entertainment.
Play ball!
Real cases from the files of Swartz Cullerton.
My name is Chance. I was a lead technician and good at my job until I suffered a devastating car accident in my work truck. The truck flipped and I was barely injured. Even though I was the victim and the police blamed the other driver, the company where I worked and its insurance company treated me horribly. Then I called the attorneys at Swartz Cullerton. They referred me to top specialists who offered incredible care. They brought me back to good health. Swartz Cullerton fought hard and got me a large cash settlement. Without Swartz Cullerton, I don't know if I ever would have won my claim. I refer all my friends and family to Swartz Cullerton. Swartz Cullerton got me justice.
If you've been injured at work, get justice. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. That's 1-800-587-8423. 1-800-JUSTICE. Don't let the insurance companies take advantage of you. Call 1-800-JUSTICE. That's 1-800-JUSTICE.
Fanatic at 5 comes your way right now.
Yes.
Morning show. show comes your way in 14 minutes. Pat Egan, Eitan Shander.
Are you sure about that?
I am positive.
13 minutes from now.
And the
poll's up.
First preseason game comes your way in 14 hours.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
No, I'm sorry, 13 hours and 13 minutes.
We'll get into that
technically
coming up today.
You think we'll talk about it?
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to talk about Aaron Rodgers' comments as well. Thought of that.
I didn't see his comments. What were they?
The Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report's all over the place. Or I guess, is this the Ringer? I don't know. One of the two. At this point, it doesn't even matter. Had the sit-down with Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers weighed in on a bunch of things going on around the NFL, including the protests and what's been kind of commandeered and taken over by the anthem talk. And Rodgers, listen, Rodgers is a guy that a lot of people wanted to speak up because they knew that he has influence.
Yeah, he's got
with
clout.
Fans and people around the league know who he is, and he's a recognizable face. And you always got that comment that people would throw out and say, what would happen if Aaron Rodgers took a knee? Or what would happen if Tom Brady took a knee? Well, he didn't take a knee, but he definitely weighed in. And I'll just read you the quote. It was never about the anthem. It was never about the troops. It was about social equality and racial injustice. Now,
I think most of us knew that already.
Correct. Well, most of us did, but I think a lot of people who were making it or fighting about the anthem did not. So maybe the people who can relate or connect with Aaron Rodgers, who were unable to relate or connect to someone like maybe Malcolm Jenkins, sees Aaron Rodgers say, oh, well, that's my favorite player saying something like that. Maybe I had it wrong. And again, that this is how things work. Nothing always changes overnight. That's never the case. But anyway, the other quote that we were kind of looking at was Alvin Kamara and what he said about the Philadelphia Eagles. Let me ask you this, and I'll read it for you. We would beat the blank out of the Eagles because we were rolling. If we won against the Vikings, I knew nobody was going to stop us because we came all the way back, end quote. Now, we reacted to this and kind of took shots at what happened with the Minnesota game and the fact that the Vikings beat up, they beat the Saints at the end of that, and it took huge heroic fashion, Hail Mary type fashion in order to win it.
Yeah.
Do you think Kamara has a point?
I remember liking that matchup against the Saints. I remember liking the pass rush against Drew Brees. I was worried, though, that Drew Brees is Drew Brees, but watching them struggle against the Vikings defense, granted, the Vikings defense was really good last year, even though the Eagles beat the brakes off of them. I remember liking defensively the matchup, and I thought that Nick Foles could beat their defense, and I thought the Eagles were just a more complete team. But when Minnesota won the way they did, I thought they kind of, you know, I thought that was their Super Bowl, and I didn't think they were going to be able to rebound from that ultimate high of coming back the way they did in that short amount of time and be able to win the NFC Championship game. So looking at it, I liked the Saints matchup,
mm-hmm.
but when Minnesota won the way they did, I thought it was a lock that the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't think it was a lock that the Eagles were going to beat the Saints. I liked the matchup, and I was confident in it, but it's very difficult to come off of that kind of high of winning the way that they did and immediately, you know, put it in the rearview mirror and say, all right, let's get ready for the next one.
Yeah,
I think people would be more
nervous, though, about the Saints. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, look.
Better football team. And
revisionist history, looking back on it, sure.
No.
I mean, you beat a team by 31 points.
Not even revisionist. What I'm saying, though, is that at the start of the playoffs, when we started to look at in the last couple of weeks, I remember doing this on the morning show, when we would look at the start of the playoffs and even towards the end of the season with the factor of Carson Wentz being down, and you kind of rank the teams that you were afraid of, the Saints were always in the top two. The Saints were always in that conversation from the majority of fans and the four of us on the show at the time.
Yeah.
I remember, Pat, a lot of people said they didn't want to play the Saints or they would least likely play the Saints if they were the Eagles.
Yeah, but in fairness, man, like you get that late in the season, everybody should scare you. You're in the NFC Championship game. Who doesn't scare you? You know, you're out of the wild card.
No. Not. I'm just saying,
like when you're in the playoffs,
like a
every
matchup.
Single team is there. Nobody backdoored their way into the playoffs usually. I mean, hell, I mean, the Eagles kind of did it in 2008, you know, when they needed Jamarcus Russell to win in Tampa Bay. But every team that's in the playoffs should worry you because every team's good. So looking at it, yeah, okay, the Saints are going to worry you, sure. But they should worry you. They're in the playoffs. They're a very good football team. So is Minnesota, by the way. They just played horribly against the Eagles. I mean, the defense is still picking off and sacking Oh God, I'm forgetting the quarterback.
Come on,
you can't help me out.
No,
this is what you do. You can't help me out. You're a real team player.
You're like Andy in the office. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Break me off a piece of that. No, you got
Chrysler
it.
Chrysler car.
You got it. You got it. Oh God. All I can think of is Chase Daniel.
Don't tell him, Betty.
I can't believe it. And I'm going to be getting tweets and stuff.
You're an idiot. What
Case
else you
Keenum.
Got?
Case Keenum.
What?
Got it. Nailed it.
So, no, I'm
just looking at it. Like, every team's going to worry you.
Yes, but you can still rank them. You can still look at this and say, which team would you least
likely
play? It's
the difference between 1, 2, and 3.
No. I don't think you were splitting hairs between the Vikings and the Saints. I think people actively wanted to play Minnesota over New Orleans.
They probably did because of Case Keenum. But before that game started, you had the number one defense. And then on the other side, you had Drew Brees. So really, it was a situation of, do you want to go up against a really good defense or do you want to go up against a really good offense with Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara? And that was, and I personally liked our defense more than our offense going into that game. Because if you remember, the Eagles are coming off of barely beating the Atlanta Falcons, and Nick Foles playing well enough to win, obviously, but it wasn't the Nick Foles we saw against Minnesota. So looking at it, yeah, I would rather take the defensive matchup over the offensive matchup. But looking at, I mean, as I said, it's that late in the season. Yeah, you're going to rank them, but I don't think it's such a disparity of like New Orleans is all the way up here and Minnesota's all the way down here.
Nah, I think it was somewhere in the middle to what you lay out where people, and again, we can throw that out. And I'm sure, as I know, Trey and Jeff are going to join us and we'll open up the morning show in a matter of minutes. Get deeper into that, not only from our perspective, but also from Trey's perspective as, listen, they lost a tough one in 04, and I'm sure there were plenty of games which you can look at and say, damn, you know, if you had just beaten one team, you would have gotten past the next 1, 2, or 3 teams in your way. I imagine that's human nature more so than not.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we'll ask Trey, obviously, because he was on those teams that lost to Carolina and Tampa and St. Louis. But I imagine, you know, going into the next year, you're thinking that way. And I honestly want my athletes to think that way. Whether they're right or wrong, I don't want my athletes to say, yeah, I don't think we would have won. You obviously should say, whether the team won the Super Bowl or lost to the Super Bowl, yeah, I think we would have won and won the Super Bowl and went on to it. When you lose in that fashion the way they did, I expect a quote like this.
All right, real quick, update on the poll. 14% now of the near 2,600 people who voted say that they hate the Penguins, whereas only 10% say the Celtics. I think the Sixers are
very surprising.
Yeah, that is. And I get it. Only 8% say the Patriots, and an overwhelming majority, 68%, say the Cowboys. Thanks to Benny for producing the show. Pat Egan, you and I guess, are back one more day tomorrow.
Allegedly.
All right.
I mean, I'll be down at any moment, but
I'll be
hopefully
down at the Trop, and you'll be up here. But until then, it's the four of us on the morning show as we move forward and look a lot deeper at this preseason game. Get ready for Nate Sudfeld. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.